Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue an important series of studies on origins. Where did we come from? What's the meaning of life? And do we have any hope for the future? I'm glad you joined us. And I want to welcome our Hope Sabbath School team here in the studio. It's a great series of studies, isn't it?
Yes.
And we've really been learning a lot. And today is a special day because in this series on origins, we've been allowing some of our Hope Sabbath School team to teach the class. And today, Jennifer is going to teach for us, and you'll learn more about the study as we get into it. But I just want to read a few emails from you. You've written to us from different parts of the world, and we're always so excited to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Here's one from Humphrey in Zambia. We have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia. And Humphrey writes and says, I'm glad to inform you that I'm richly blessed by the way you present the studies, and I seldom miss an episode.
Amen.
Being the youth class coordinator at my local church, I make sure to watch the program on Thursday so that I can teach it on Sabbath morning. May God bless you, and I like the scripture songs.
Amen.
Well, we're going to sing a scripture song in a minute. And if you want to download a free copy of the scripture song and the sheet music, you can go to our website at hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can also look at the entire series of origins and, in fact, other series of studies that we've done. So that website's an important resource for you at hopetv.org/hopeSS. Thanks, Humphrey, for writing to us. Here's a note from Pastor Alex in Kenya. Seth, you're from Kenya, so this is from your homeland. And Pastor Alex is a pastor of the Church of God Kenya. And he writes, he says, thank you for the Hope Sabbath School website. Amen. It has blessed my heart since there is truth for today, and every Christian should stop and look at your website if they desire to grow spiritually.
Wow.
Well, that's awesome. You can watch all of the programs, Hope Sabbath School programs, on our website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, don't watch it all of that time. Take time to sleep. But you can go at any time that's convenient. That's what Pastor Alex did. Checked out our website, and he wishes us God's blessings. He says that the website material can help us to grow spiritually and that we can share that truth with others. Well, that's what Hope Sabbath School is all about. So thank you, Pastor Alex, for writing to us from Kenya. Here's a note from Hymns. That's an interesting first name. It's a man's name because his second name is Harvey. So Hymns is his first name. He's from Indonesia. And Hymns writes and says, I'm Hymns and my wife, Shella, from the Philippines. We're greatly blessed. I know you said Indonesia, but just hold on a second. We're greatly blessed to follow Hope Sabbath School. We are here in Jakarta, Indonesia, serving as missionaries.
Wow.
So they're from the Philippines, serving as missionaries in Indonesia.
Wow.
Hope Sabbath School helps us to share the wonderful word of our Almighty God.
Amen.
Keep the light shining until Jesus comes. We are praying for all of you. Well, we're praying for you too.
Amen.
Hymns and Shella, missionaries from the Philippines in Indonesia. And here's one last note from Mark in the United States, from the state of Florida. And Mark writes and says, I enjoy the Hope Sabbath School lessons and look forward to them every week. I'm a Sabbath School teacher in the Orlando area, and these lessons help me with my class. And then he says, how can one get on the broadcast? I would be honored to be part of the group. Well, I want to tell you, not just Mark, but to any of you, we have some people who've flown in from as far away as Orlando, driven in from Atlanta, flown from California. So we have a very committed Hope Sabbath School team. We have people coming from around the world who believe in what God's doing through Hope Sabbath School. So thank you for taking an interest, and thank you for taking the time to write to us. We'd love to hear from you, whether you've written to us before or you're a first-time writer. you can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And now we want to sing our scripture song. We're not a choir, but we do want to hide God's word in our hearts. We want to encourage you to hide God's word in your heart too. This is Psalm 134. I invite you to sing it with us.
Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord.
It's amazing to think about groups singing this around the world. Let's sing it again.
Behold, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord.
Our topic today is an important one. The Sabbath, a gift from Eden. And we want to see how the Sabbath can really be all that our Creator intended it to be. And Jennifer, thanks so much. You're an active part of our Hope Sabbath School team. Thanks for leading us in our study today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thanks for letting me have the opportunity. So class, this is an exciting lesson in a series that we have been focusing on, looking at the relationship that God wants to have with us as our Creator. And also, there are some other aspects of that relationship that we will be looking at today. So if Stephanie could get us started, we are going to first look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made.
Okay, and now we're just going to go a little bit further into Exodus, and then we'll start tying it all together. But Arnell, could you please go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11? Exodus 20, 8 through 11.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all in them that is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Amen.
I'm reading from the King James Version.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And so can we just talk a little bit about the different emphasis that we saw first in Genesis and then in Exodus? And I see a few heads nodding, so if anyone wants to just jump right in, Ulrich, please go ahead.
I like the fact that in Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3, he makes it clear that on this day he rested from his work and he sanctified and hallowed it. And those are two amazing words in themselves, in that when God blesses something, the scripture says it is forever blessed. Mm-hmm. And the first thing we see God blessing from scripture is not really a man or animal or a plant. He blesses a period of time. Mm-hmm. Because in terms of our relationship to him, this period of time was to mean something. So in essence, he set apart a period of time, blessed it,
right,
made it holy, sacred time that for us to commune with him.
Right. So he blessed it because he is our creator. And, you know, that was the thing that was emphasized in Genesis. And thanks for bringing that out. And Nathan, it looked like you had a
Thinking there in both of these passages, we see that it's different from the other days.
Mm-hmm.
So he sanctified this day, meaning set it apart. And even as children, I remember learning, you see, you have a little graph maybe with four sections, and there's three plants and then a picture of a house or something, and you have to choose, you know, you're a little kid in school, which one of these is different, right? But there's something about learning distinction that helps us grow and kind of put things in order in our lives. And God says, look, I want you to understand these 6 days, that's your work week. And then there's the seventh day, and it's different from everything else from the other part of the week. And there's something about that that helps us to understand who God is in making a day different, sanctifying it, and helping us to appreciate that day.
Thank you. And we'll just get one more comment from Seth, and then we'll move on, Seth.
I think one aspect of it is obviously commemorative. And we, you know, today we value a lot of, you know, commemorative events that we have in society.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sabbath, interestingly, is also very practical. You know, the way it says to rest, you know, it's quality time. And I know we'll get into more of this.
Right.
How we use it.
Thank you. So we're seeing in Genesis that God is wanting us to spend time with him in relationship because he's our creator. And then we see that again in Exodus. And one of the reasons why I think the emphasis is so important in Exodus is because even though God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and wanted to form them into a nation and have a relationship with them, they had forgot that he was their creator and they had started to worship idols. Mm-hmm. And so it's God wanting to, you know, just give us that reminder that he is our creator. And that's just one of the many reasons why we should, you know, love him and want to have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And so now we're going to move on to Deuteronomy 5, chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. And I guess the first person who can get to that, if you could just let me know. It looks like you have it, Teddy. You're on it.
I'm reading from the New International Version. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do.
So can someone tell me a little bit about what's the significance of the context that you know, Moses, you know, is with the children of Israel, you know, God is reinforcing this idea that, you know, I brought you out of Egypt with a mighty outstretched hand. Can anyone talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think it's interesting that first when it's given and we read of it in Exodus as a commandment, it's to remember that God is our creator. And here in verse 15, it goes on to say that he brought you out of Egypt with an outstretched. So now we remember him as our redeemer. So the Sabbath is both an opportunity to reflect on who God is as our creator, mm-hmm, and as our redeemer. And if I can make one little comment too, I had written a note sometime years ago in my Bible, and I circled the word keep in verse 15, to keep the Sabbath day, mm-hmm, at the end of the verse. And in Hebrew, it actually means to make the Sabbath day. The verb there is make. So it's not something like you just say, okay, I'm going to shut down, go to sleep for a day and rest all day long and, you know, draw the curtains and I don't do anything in the world today and I just lock myself away because it's a day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's something we actively participate in this relationship, in doing something to observe the day and honor our Creator and our Redeemer.
Praise God.
Yeah, and also, as we see in the scriptures, the first one, when you read, it talks about the Sabbath of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that means a lot to me. Nowhere in the scripture did they say you have the right to choose your Sabbath or the Sabbath of the Jews. But everywhere you see the Bible talking about the Sabbath, it says the Sabbath is of the Lord. Yes. And here we saw it where God was giving it to the entire human race by giving it to our first parent and then passing it on. Even in the case of the Exodus and then the text we just read, he never said the Sabbath for the Jews. He said the Sabbath of the Lord. That makes it all humanity to be part of it.
Yeah. Praise God. So basically it's saying that God wants to have a relationship with everyone.
Yes.
Stephanie?
I think it's interesting how the Bible puts in both Deuteronomy and Exodus to remind the Sabbath, remember that I brought you out of bondage. So often we think of the Sabbath as this is my restriction. I can't do this on the Sabbath. But God is saying, rest in me, rest your salvation in me. And you are no longer bound to sin.
Praise God. That's a wonderful insight. And I think we had another comment.
Yeah, I was going to look back at a statement made in terms of the seventh day. Why is that repeated in both contexts? And it makes me wonder, you know, what is it about this day? Why couldn't it be any other day in the week? Why did it particularly have to be the seventh day? And it makes me reflect back on Genesis, where it says, he sanctified and hallowed it. Mm-hmm. He blessed that particular time period. I mean, we've seen that throughout man's history and even to the present day, there is a lot of controversy over which day is the holy day or the Sabbath day or so forth in different religions. But God's word speaks clearly that at creation, he sanctified and blessed the seventh day of the creation week, and he ordained that this particular time period be his Sabbath, the Lord's Sabbath.
And that's a really good point that you just brought up, and I think we're just going to explore that even further when we go to Luke chapter 23, verse 46 through 56. And the first person to get that, if you could just let me know who you are. Stephanie?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
Now, Kenneth had made a really good point earlier talking about how the Sabbath applies to everyone. It's God's gift, you know, back in Genesis, it's God's gift in Exodus. So it's not just the children of Israel that God wanted to have the blessing of the Sabbath. And so can someone talk a little bit about the significance of Jesus, you know, resting in the tomb after the crucifixion on Sabbath? Nathan?
In this series, we've seen that Jesus was the creator. He was in the beginning with the Word, and he was the Word, and was with God and was God. And so all things hold together through him. He's active in creation. But then when he did his great work of recreating us, of saving us, he also rested after, you know, when he finished, he rested after creation, right? Mm-hmm. He finishes the work of saving us, the recreation work on the cross. And he even said, it is finished mm-hmm. on the cross. And then he rested on the seventh day. Mm. Just, I see beauty in that.
Mm. That's absolutely
a finished work.
Amazing.
That's right.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So we're going to continue talking about that topic of, you know, the Lord sanctifying us. And we're going to look at Ezekiel 20, verse 12. And then we're going to look at Exodus 31, 13. So if someone could go ahead and be finding Exodus 31, 13 as well. And Lily, could you read Ezekiel 20, verse 12?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Also, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy.
Mm. Praise God. Mm. Yeah. And does someone have Exodus 31:13? Ulrich?
Reading from the New King James Version, it says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, mm-hmm. that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I think we're painting a picture here, you know, of a God who wants to have a relationship with us, not a God who says, you know, I'm making this rule because I really care about my rules and then I want to make some people to keep my rule.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's a God that says, wait a minute, I want you to understand that I'm your creator and I'm your redeemer, and then I am the one who sanctifies you. It's mm-hmm. not because you keep my Sabbath day that you're holy. It's because I make you holy.
Amen.
Amen.
You look here and you see he sets apart the time, and now he's speaking to the children of Israel, and he said, I set you apart. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, most of the ancient world, they didn't really have the knowledge of the true Sabbath. So God now called the people and set them apart. That is, he sanctified them with this knowledge, that through them, the rest of the inhabited world at that time may know of the true God and of the Sabbath. That's why he set them apart.
Mm. Missy?
I keep thinking about Aaron's sons mm-hmm. and how they were involved in the sanctuary service and how, you know, they had to have a fire burning. And there was a holy fire, and then there was a fire that wasn't. And they were punished for using fire that was not holy. Mm-hmm. And to me, that shows a difference between something that's been blessed, set apart, and sanctified, and something that's foreign mm-hmm. and not blessed and not part of God's original plan. We may not understand all the details, but there's blessing when we just trust and obey.
Amen. Amen.
I think if we ask ourselves the question, what makes something holy? Mm-hmm. And why is it important that we know that distinction, we make that separation between what's holy and what's common or profane? Mm-hmm. And think about what God said to Moses, take off your sandals. Why? Because you're standing on holy ground. Well, what made that ground holy? Amen. It was the presence of God. Yeah. What makes the Sabbath day holy? Mm-hmm. Not that God isn't present always everywhere with
right.
us. Of course he is. But
right.
when he comes, he's always present in the world. But in that particular place where he was meeting with Moses on that ground, he said, this is holy ground. And on this day when he says, I want you to remember me, stop everything else that's normally going on during the week, and just especially today have a relationship with me, that makes that day holy, that time holy. What makes you holy? Mm-hmm. God's presence in your life. So I think it's his presence because he's the origin of holiness, right?
Amen. Yeah. And can we, I guess, you know, one of the things that it just clear to me when we read this is that, you know, maybe God just loves us too much to leave us, you know, the way we were when he found us, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a further demonstration of his love that he just
yeah.
cares so much that he actually wants to sanctify us and make us over in his image. Mm. And so I think that's just another beautiful, you know, thing that the Sabbath shows us. And Stephanie, I think you wanted to...
Jennifer, do you think that that's maybe why he wants us to come and really observe the Sabbath? Because it signifies, Lord, I'm giving this over to you. Mm. You take over in my life, and you bring that recreation in my life.
Mm. Amen. Amen. I think you're right. I think that's absolutely right. Kristen?
I keep looking back at the Ezekiel text that talks about a sign. Mm-hmm. And we were going to talk about yeah. being a symbol. Mm-hmm. And to me, in my life, the Sabbath to me is a sign of trust in Him. I think back when I was in college and I had friends who studied on the Sabbath because they wanted to get a good grade in the test. So they studied all day Saturday because they thought they needed to do that. Where I put my trust in God and I said, okay, God, I need to study more, but I'm going to take this time, give it to you, and trust you with my time. Mm-hmm. And so the sign was trust. To me, it's trust.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
I also think that the Creator knows us. Mm-hmm. He made us that way. He knows we're going to need to rest. He knows we're going to need to reconnect with Him. He knows that in order for us to live a balanced life, we need to be sanctified in Him. And the Sabbath is a sign more for us to recalibrate, you know, and to just reconnect with our true nature. I know sin is what we consider sometimes our sinful nature, but to me, our original nature is to be holy. Mm. And which better way to connect than to have a specific day to remind us and to just recalibrate the way we need it.
Amen.
Yeah, and just to add to what she said, you know, in as much as we have a daily sanctification process, I think the Sabbath serves as a weekly sanctification process whereby we come to God for God to restore us to how He intends us to be. I think it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. God wants to restore us. So here we see the even the salvific reason why we should observe the Sabbath.
Amen. So it sounds like, you know, where we what we're saying is that the Sabbath is, you know, a symbol that God is our Creator, our Redeemer, and He wants to sanctify us because He loves us. And, you know, when I think about some of the relationships in my life, you know, I have the privilege of being an aunt to an adorable niece and a couple of adorable nephews. And I had an opportunity to visit with them recently, and it was just so sweet to have my little niece come into the bedroom that I was sleeping in, like, super early in the morning when I was trying to sleep, you know, the covers over my head. And she just wanted to talk to me. You know, it was like, do you want a color? I'm like, it's 7 in the morning. I don't want a color. But just in her innocent way, as a child, she wanted to spend some time with me. Wow. And just to have my little nephew come in and want to tell me stories and, you know, just to have that time with just me and my nephew. And, you know, I love them, but just think about how much more God loves us and how He, you know, in the whole looking at the, you know, great controversy where, you know, God is accused of having a character that's not loving, that just wants to exercise arbitrary power. And God is saying, no, this is who I am. I'm a God who really just wants to be with you, because if you spend time with me and you understand who I really am, you'll love me. Amen. And so I think that's one of the wonderful things that we, you know, have when we have that Sabbath experience.
And also God rested on the seventh day in the Garden of Eden and gave the commandment to Moses. And throughout the history, the people of God is honoring the Sabbath. And also the Word of God, this commandment is also the same as the other commandments. You cannot omit this commandment. And in the new heaven and the new earth, we worship God from Sabbath to Sabbath, says in Isaiah.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, one of the things that we kind of talked about a little bit earlier when we were looking at Luke and how Jesus rested in His tomb on, you know, the Sabbath is, you know, Jesus had a lot going on the Sabbath. You know, some people accused Him of breaking the Sabbath and not really continuing to keep the Sabbath. So now we're just going to look at Matthew 12, verse 1 through 8. And then next after that, we're going to look at Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. So if someone could, you know, find that. And we're just going to talk about what did Jesus really think about the Sabbath? Was it still relevant, or was it something that was just a Jewish tradition that was done away with? Could you, Seth, could you please read Matthew 12, verses 1 through 8?
I'll be reading from the NIV. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to Him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent. I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
So in a minute, we're going to, I just want you guys to start thinking about what important lesson can we learn from Jesus about the Sabbath. But before we go to that, Gloria, could you please read Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6?
Sure. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through to 6. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Verse 6. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him.
So what lesson can we learn from Jesus about the Sabbath?
Jesus intends to recapture and then restore what the Sabbath was meant to be for humanity benefits, and not for people to add, you know, all their addictions from their own understanding, which in a way was biased and it wasn't reflected the original intention of God regarding the Sabbath.
Amen. Seth?
I think the original intention for the Sabbath was, you know, it was supposed to be an experience of freedom, wholeness, you know, as we read in the first and the second texts. It's all obviously had some distortions, but it was meant to be good.
Nathan?
I think like any of God's gifts, the Sabbath as well could become, our view of it is distorted, or we pervert something good that God gave us. And here's what happened with the Pharisees, apparently, mm-hmm. that their view of the Sabbath was so problematic that Jesus wanted to specifically address it. He didn't just say, you know, it's too bad they don't get it. Mm-hmm. He actually brought it to the attention. In my Bible, when we were reading this, I noticed in verse 3 where Jesus tells the man, "Step forward." My margin says literally it means arise into the midst. In other words, I see Jesus, let's make this the center of attention. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a spectacle here because I want people to understand what I'm about to teach them through this man's, through healing this man. And it's important enough to Jesus that he said, I'm going to take this thing on, even though I know it's going to be a head-on collision with mm-hmm. the traditions of the Pharisees. I want people to understand the truth because the Sabbath is that important to him mm-hmm. so that we might have the blessing intended by it.
So what was Jesus revealing about God? Character when he taught us this lesson about the Sabbath, because there is a special Sabbath lesson here, but I think it's also a revelation of God's character as well. Anybody? Lily?
I think one of the things is he's telling you rest, but don't stop being good or doing good to others mm-hmm. should they need it. And in the first verse that we read, they were hungry, so they were eating. They weren't laboring. They weren't picking up for tomorrow. They weren't, you know, working, they were just trying to feed themselves. They were hungry. And in the next case, he was in need of healing. In essence, he's saying, you know what, rest from the world, rest from everything, but don't stop being Christ-like. Don't stop doing good just because it's a holy day set aside for what we do daily.
Amen. That's powerful. Ulrich?
I think what Jesus did here is, as Nathan alluded to, is try to attempt to release the burden of mm-hmm. Sabbath keeping from the people because they had been weighed down by so many rules and regulations that mm-hmm. were added over the years after the Jews came back from Babylon. They drifted into legalism where they realized that it was disobedience to God's law that caused them to go into captivity. So in an attempt to prevent that from ever occurring again, they tried to add some of the most strictest stipulations around these laws. Mm-hmm. And they had so many burdensome requirements to the Sabbath that it lost its luster and its delight. And Jesus wanted to release the people from those burdensome obligations and return them back to the delight of the Sabbath. I think that is one of the lessons we should take from it, in that do not burden the Sabbath with your own human requirements and restriction. The Sabbath is a delight, and that it should always be.
So it looks like they took the love and the relationship aspect out of the Sabbath.
That's right.
And so all you were left with was an arbitrary rule.
That's right.
From an arbitrary God, you know, which is what's the way they perceive God. Well, didn't care about people, just cared about protecting his rules.
Yeah.
Stephanie?
I think it's a beautiful representation of the principle that God has of healing on the Sabbath. And he's saying, I love my creation and I will do merciful acts. Mm-hmm. This is what the Sabbath is all about, caring for my creation.
Wow. That is really remarkable, because I think that's when we see the fullest revelation of God's character, when he's healing us not only physically but also spiritually and restoring us. We'll take two more comments and then we have to move on. Missy and then Kenneth.
I believe that what Jesus did when he broke man's Sabbath, he was restoring the people's view of God in such an amazing way. This is not what I'm about, is what he's saying. I want a relationship with you. It's not about you earning your way into heaven or so that you can know me as a distant God. I want to be with you. And Jesus exemplified that so beautifully in healing the people around and caring for people's needs. And they hopefully would get a better understanding of who God really is.
You know, I had a friend, and because of how people had distorted the Sabbath, he had a different view. So one day I invited him to come to church with me. So, you know, when he was coming, he came with a class of all sort of different view about what the Sabbath was going to do. You know, so inwardly he was afraid to come. But when he came, he was released because he saw the joy, the fellowship, the communion, you know, the praises, and then whatever was going on. And he said, oh, so is this what the Sabbath is about? You know, when you don't see the Sabbath from a very right person, you know, it will give you a distorted view. So here we see Jesus say, I am with the Father. We established this Sabbath for humanity. So let me show you what the Sabbath is, what it needs to be done. So that people will see what God's original intention about the Sabbath was.
Amen. So could it be that, you know, another aspect of the Sabbath is an opportunity to rest in God's love and care for us? You know, he just wants to have that opportunity. And I think, you know, one of the things that's really beautiful as you see the progression of God talking to us about the Sabbath, this back in Genesis, you know, God just rested. He didn't have to persuade people to spend time with him like once a week. But, you know, as the effects of sin, you know, grew more and more, God, you know, had to make it a part of his law that people would take some time to reflect on the relationship that he wanted to have with them. Not because he just wanted to make up a rule. I was thinking about, Jonathan, what you said earlier about in another series about, you know, you being in a relationship with someone and, you know, just, you know, how would you feel if you had to come up with some sort of, you know, contract or policy that you guys would get together occasionally? That would not be much of a relationship, would it? So, yeah, that would be, you know, so I think God is just saying that he just wants to have that closeness with us. And let's just pick up the rest of the story about what Jesus is teaching us about the Sabbath. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through 17. And then we're also going to look at John chapter 5, verse 1 through 14, and John chapter 9, verse 1 through 38. And let's see, Teddy, would you mind reading Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17?
Okay, sure. I'm reading from the New International Version. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Great. So let's just quickly go to John chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. Kristen, do you have that?
Sure. I'm reading from the New International Version as well. John 5, verse 1 to 14. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. There are a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk? Pick it up and walk." The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to just read one final chapter from John 9, verse 1 through 38, and then we'll have an opportunity, because I see some hands coming up, to talk a little bit more about, you know, Jesus and, you know, his what he thought about the Sabbath and how he observed the Sabbath. Lily, do you have John chapter 9, verse 1 through 38?
Sure. I'm reading from the New International Version. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the days in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see."
Amen.
Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes."
Amen. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, is Jesus opposed to the Sabbath?
No.
Doesn't sound that way, Nathan.
Well,
he's not.
I was just thinking, you know, they're missing the big picture. They're missing the big event to focus on the, you know, you're breaking the rule about the Sabbath. They thought healing was work, you know. Mm-hmm. There's 6 days to work. Don't do this work on the Sabbath. They just missed a huge miracle so they could focus on their legalistic perspective of keeping the Sabbath. And I just feel like, you know, Jesus is trying to whack them upside the head with truth, and they're just not getting it. And we can be like that. It's easy for us to look back and say, "Oh, how foolish they were."
Right.
But we can do that.
Yeah.
We ourselves can start developing traditions of our own whatever, and we stop thinking about what does God really want me to experience on this day.
Right.
I remember when I was in Jerusalem, when there was a girl, I wanted to take her picture, and she said, "Lo, Shabbats," you know.
Yeah.
They were playing ball on the Sabbath, and I was taking their picture as we were walking on our way to church through a Jewish neighborhood. And I thought, you know, for her, taking the picture was breaking the Sabbath.
Right.
And everybody can have their own perspectives of what God expects on the Sabbath, but go back to the Word and see what was the reason it was originally given.
Right. Because as we were saying before, it's about relationship, right? It's about God wanting to have a relationship with us. Seth?
I mean, it's clear that the Sabbath had been, you know, disabused. I mean, it had been abused so much that mm-hmm. Jesus had to disabuse it, of its meaning. The meaning that the Pharisees, for example, had put on it. But it's quite striking to me how Jesus was, you know, when he stepped into the fray with the Pharisees, he was so willing to pick a fight, mm-hmm. you know, just to make sure that the Sabbath was understood in its true meaning. It wasn't something arbitrary, which is what they seem to have taken it for, the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And Teddy?
I think that it's very interesting to me because, honestly, Jesus' life is an example of how we should keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath itself is an opportunity for us to take a time out to really reflect on our actions and how we're interacting with those around us. But that's not supposed to just stop on that day either. Those things we learn from that day are supposed to be carried through. Of course, they were trying to catch Jesus on a technicality of their own laws, but that love and that relationship, it should just carry through our whole week.
Absolutely. And I think we'll get some more comments later, but I think where we are in, you know, Earth's history, it seems like that relationship is more important now than ever. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 7, and then Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 through 7. And Nathan, can you please read 2 Peter chapter 3?
Mm-hmm. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7 from the New King James Version. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men."
And Kristen, could you read Revelation 14, verse 6 through 7? Sure. And we're talking about the last days and why Sabbath is so important now.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading from the New International Version. 14, verse 6 and 7. "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'"
Amen. And, you know, I think if we are looking at the Sabbath from the attitude of a God who loves us and who created us and who wants to restore us, wanting to have a loving relationship, you know, that's an opportunity to really, you know, give him praise and to just think about the wonderful things that he's done in our lives. Stephanie, could you please go to Psalms 92 and read verses 1 through 2?
Jennifer? While she's going there,
yes,
can I make a comment
absolutely.
On Revelation 14?
Because, sure.
This is a pretty important message because they're flying in midair and they're telling, you know, this message of an everlasting gospel to every nation all over the world. And the message is what? Worship him. And then it gives a whole bunch of creation language, the one who's
yes.
the creator.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about how do we worship the creator? Mm-hmm. And I see in that, what's the memorial of his creation? What's the sign he gave us according to Ezekiel 20, verse 12?
Absolutely.
Between him and us. So the Sabbath is critical here in this part of Revelation 14, which is telling us to worship the Creator.
Amen.
And you know, Jennifer, I think it's even more than just the Sabbath, is uh-huh. that we're just not here by accident.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're not some kind of cosmic coincidence, that there is a Creator
yeah.
and that life has meaning.
Amen.
And there's actually something in the future to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And that's why the message is not calling people back to a day.
Mm-hmm.
The day is a sign.
Right.
It's calling people back to a relationship that mm-hmm. Jesus showed can bring healing and blessing. Mm.
Yeah.
So that's the good news.
Amen.
There's a God who loves us.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I was looking at what Nathan just said. He said to talk about a loud cry, as you read here in Revelation 14, in that I'm looking at the loud message, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It has to be loud because it speaks of a message that is going to be going to every nation, town, and people. And the loudness speak of in the sense that it has to drown out every other message that is contrary mm-hmm. to this message that God wants the inhabitants of the earth to hear before the Lord's second coming. So this is very important. This message here, as Nathan said, it has some kind of like creation, Sabbath kind of language in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's for us to remember that our worship should be to the true God and that it's a call for the inhabitants of the earth to
right.
return to the worship of the
Absolutely.
True God.
It's a similar message to the one that we saw first in Genesis that we were reminded of, again, in Exodus and then also in Deuteronomy. It just continues to be emphasized throughout the Bible. And just knowing how much God loves us and how much God wants to have a loving relationship with me and you and everyone, it just fills my heart with joy, and it just makes me want to praise Him.
Amen.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we see, you know, written out in this, in the Psalms. But, you know, maybe someone can just share, you know, how a Sabbath experience has impacted your life, or how knowing God as your Creator and Redeemer has had an impact on you. Has someone had a, you know, a special situation that happened, or something that happened in your personal life with the Sabbath, or experiencing God through the Sabbath? Do you want to share, Stephanie?
I think I remember a friend of mine, she asked me, she said, why is the Sabbath so important to you? And I said, you know, this is God saying, I love you so much, I have set aside 24 hours just to spend with you so that we can get to know each other better. That's how much I love you.
Amen.
I'm the creator of the universe, and yet I spend time with you.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Beautiful.
I think that says it all. That's just amazing, the way God loves us, and how He wants to spend time with all of us. And it's wonderful.
Amen.
It helped me to refocus my own priorities and things in life, because when I was younger, I used to have to sit in Sabbath class, but I was away from the church for some time, but I came back into the church a few years ago, and it helped me to understand that all these things that you may be pushing for are not relevant in the grand scheme of things as it pertains to God, and that you resting on the Sabbath and having that time to commune with Him is priority number one.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Jennifer, thanks for a fascinating study. Did you appreciate that study?
Yes.
Thanks for sharing with us. And thank you for being with us for Hope Sabbath School today. What a precious topic to understand the Sabbath as a gift and a time for healing and a time for blessing. We need that. And we need to share that good news of a loving Creator, a loving Redeemer, who wants to spend time with all of His children. I want to pray that God would help you to experience the true meaning of Sabbath and the blessing of Sabbath in your life. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of time to be with you, not as some kind of legal obligation, but as a blessing from a loving Creator and Redeemer.
Yes, Lord.
May we enjoy all that the Sabbath was intended to be. And may we give that loud cry of a God who loves all of His children and wants to have an eternal loving relationship with them.
Amen.
Thank you for this good news in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. And thank you, Jennifer, for an exciting study. Perhaps God wants you to become a teacher in your community and to be a blessing as you share the truths of God's Word with those around you. We hope you'll join us next time. Share what you've learned and be a blessing in Jesus' name.